Thank you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special interview segment of the 1973 podcast with, could I say, a friend of ours from Cardboard Promotions, Doug Keating. Doug, great to have you. Lots to talk about. 30 years of card shows, 30 years of card show guests, hopefully some good stories, some fun stuff to talk about, some stuff to promote, and yeah, let's get rolling out. Just to start off, how did you get started doing the card show promotions?
Well, like a lot of kids, I started collecting when I was a kid, and this is probably the late 1980s. And then I started as a vendor at card shows, and then I said, "Hey, might not promote one." And then when I was senior in high school, 17 years old, I ran one at our local VFW. A town I was growing up in called Whitman, Mass. If you haven't heard of that, next to Brockton, Mass. If you haven't heard of that, I don't know what to say. And a year later, I moved it to a Holiday Inn in Mansfield, and that hotel has changed name a couple of times. But with the exception of a couple of years due to COVID and stuff, we've been there pretty much nonstop in a couple other locations on the way. Although I didn't really get into autograph gas until about 20 years, but still 20. Until the last 20 years, but been a good 20 years, well, good 30 years too.
Could you share who your very first autograph guest was?
I think the first one, I know no one's going to even know who he is, but I think it was Greg McMurtry. His claim to fame, he was drafted by both the Red Sox and the Patriots, but never really did much in either sport. But I knew him because he's a couple years older than me, but he went to Brockton High School, and I went to Whitman Hanson High School. We didn't know one another personally, but he was kind of a big deal growing up, and he was pretty small. I would say probably the first bigger guest was Steve Grogan, and there's actually a much more interesting story on that. He's at a sporting goods store, Grogan Marciano Sporting Goods, now I'm plugging his store forever, and I wasn't doing autograph guests at the time. This was over 20 years ago. And I stopped by the store and said, "Hey, you mind if I put out some flyers, give you some free packs of cards?" And we got to talking. I said, "Why don't you bring Steve as a guest?" And my thinking was, if you go to that sporting goods store in Mansfield, you can probably get an autograph for free. He's there half the time. But so I was a little reluctant, but we brought him in, and I guess the rest is history. I think it was 2001.
I've seen Steve Grogan there a couple of times. I took a picture with him the last time I saw him because I had a picture of him at training camp when I was a kid, and I kind of mirrored it with, you know, almost 20 years later, and it's just a fun little fact there. So, Tom, being a raffle winner of Cardboard Promotions, what kind of questions do you have for Doug?
I want to ask Doug. I know you said you started collecting cards. What was your favorite sport to collect?
Back in the 80s, everybody collected baseball. It's ironic, we watched the other sports, but we didn't really collect the other sports, which is why 1986 Flair basketball is worth a lot, and 1986 Topps baseball is worth nothing. We collected the wrong thing back then.
Yeah, that's I have a story like that with when I was a kid. I had boxes full of cards, and my mother kept bugging me to try to move them around. I didn't move them. She ended up giving all my cards away to our paper guy. And I didn't know what was in there, what was worth or anything at the point. So I don't know. I could have been a millionaire at this point, but so what's the, I wanted to know running things. What's the toughest thing you've had to deal with since starting it?
Since starting in 1991, or
but whatever, what, yep.
I'm not really a morning person. I don't know if that's the toughest challenge, but you're a show that starts at 8:30. You kind of hope they set up the floor plan the night before, so you can if you have to make any adjustments the night before. But a lot of these hotels probably run a card show on a Sunday night. They might rent it for something else unrelated to Saturday night, so they don't set it up until that morning. And you try to get there before the vendors get there to make sure tables are set up right, and you know, all the vendors know where their tables are. things like that. And I just never sleep
That
that
probably
well
answers
before the show.
my next question was going to be, how stressful is it for you on the day of a show?
I don't know if stress is the word. There's so many more stressful jobs out there. So many more, quite frankly, more important jobs out there. I'm good at what I do, but I don't make any notions that the job is any particularly special compared to so many other jobs, more important jobs out there. Even if I was a teacher, and certainly that's a more important job, and I can think of so many more important jobs, but I like what I do.
Doug, I got a question. Who is the all-time favorite guest that you've ever had on the show that you've loved having every time that he or she's been there?
Honestly, the small names are probably the most interesting. Someone like Ronnie LaPette, the former Patriot. The first time he set up, he was an autograph guest in my show. He actually showed up. He saw my Cacho sign on the highway, and then just showed up at the show, and said, "Hey, I live around here. Can I be an autograph guest at your show?" And I said, "Sure." He literally just saw this. It's at a sports card show, right near the highway today, and he went to the show, and so we brought him back, and he just loves coming. Just nice guy. And I know he's done a lot for charity and youth services over the years too. And his autograph doesn't go for much, but I don't pay him much, and that's a nice combination, I guess.
That's all. It's
But
good.
it's tough to narrow it down. I mean, there's so many neat guys. Maybe I know you're more of a hockey guy, so maybe I'll talk more hockey.
No. I mean, Tom loves baseball, Ed loves football, and I'm the hockey kind of guy. So every time I've gone to a show, I always bring the kids, and it's always like a Bruin that we haven't met, or for me, my favorite guest that you've ever had was Bernie Parent. I mean, I love Bernie Parent. Every time you guys bring him in, I gotta go. He's great. He's awesome with the kids. My daughter had lost a couple of teeth, and he wanted to take a picture with her. So his wife asked me if it was okay for him to have a picture of her with him because of she had the hockey smile, and I have it framed on my daughter's wall, and he signed it to her, and it's one of the things that. My memorable most moment from going to one of your shows was, him and her interacting in that moment, and me being a Flyers fan, and it was just like the perfect storm of things that happened. And I can't say enough good about the experiences I've had at the show. I've never ran into somebody that was standoffish or anything like that. Especially the hockey alumni seem to be a different breed when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's. I think if you become a hockey player, you're not going to be fooling yourself. You chose a sport where you got to get hit, you got to fall on the ice, it's going to hurt, and that's the sport you chose. I don't think. I think it's something in that sport. I didn't play hockey. I played so mostly soccer and basketball growing up. I have a lot of respect for anybody who play hockey, but there's something about the, I know it hurts when you fall on the ice like that. But anyway, did you grow up in Philadelphia as a
No,
Flyers fan,
no.
or?
So my last name is Clark. My father's name was Bobby Clark. So as a kid, I was drawn to a team that had that, your dad's name is one of the players. So you and he played goalie and he looked like Bernie Parent. So that's my connection with the whole Flyers thing. And since I was a kid, I take so much heat for being a Flyers fan from everybody I know. And every time I go and meet a Bruins player, they give me crap about that. So it's fun. I've met so many great players at the card show, like Guy Lafleur, Bobby Hull, I was going to ask you about, Grant Fuhr, Andy Moog, not just strictly Bruins players. I mean, Brian Trottier, Rod Langway. So many memories I have of meeting these guys because you gave me an avenue to go and enjoy not just guys from my childhood that I could share with family and friends and all that fun stuff. So if I could promote anything about the shows is the family atmosphere is what I enjoy about it.
Yeah, I try to do that. We do a lot of we used to do free, I think I've given away more packs of cards than anybody maybe in the world.
Yeah,
We used
pro
to always
stat.
do free packs of cards, going back to the early 1990s, and then COVID hit, and as you know, a lot of the hobby took off, and a lot of that quote unquote junk wax just became too valuable to give away, so now I can't give it away. But big in the family atmosphere, we have a Father's Day card show every Father's Day, obviously, and that's our next show at Holiday Inn in Dedham. So we do a free gift for dads on Father's Day, sort of a tradition. And it's going to be probably an autograph card or photo because I'm always sitting on a lot of those.
Ed, any questions for Doug before we transition?
Sure. I'd just like to ask him. So who is your favorite? I know you said, with Ronnie, he came and he asked if you could come to the show and pretty much just come and join your show. Who's your favorite football guy that you just, that just the first time you met him, like if you've watched him on TV growing up, that type of thing, and you met him, you're like, man, I'm so glad that this guy showed up. It was so nice to meet this guy.
Favorite football. I was gonna think other sports come to mind. Favorite football guy beyond Ronnie LaPette. let me think. Might avoid the. I mean, among hockey, Mel Schmidt's up there. Among baseball, Johnny Pesce is up there. I think among basketball or football, anyone in particular. Frank Malzahn, Louis Tiant, both those guys did a lot for charity. A lot of private signings I've had. I still didn't really answer the question.
No,
Not a football guy
that's
that.
okay, man. It's okay. I mean,
Yeah, I
we're
mean
pretty
Larry
loose,
Bird.
man.
Did the private. It was Nate meeting Larry Bird at the private signing. He doesn't talk a lot. It has to do with he counts the autographs in his head to make sure he's getting paid for every autograph. But he's a good. He's got a nice looking signature and. Hoping to do another Bird signing sooner than later.
Oh,
But
sweet.
it's so tough to narrow it down. There's so many names, so many positive stories. Old Cam Boyd comes to mind. Real nice guy. I remember going out to, he moved back to Mississippi. We've been having him back here in another month and a half. He moved back to Mississippi, but he's coming back to Massachusetts for a month or two. Just so many guys. I'll think of it. If you have any more questions, think about coming up with a good football guy, football story.
Sure,
But
sure. I mean, Doug, I wasn't trying to put you on the spot. I mean,
oh no,
we're
yeah,
pretty
just tough
loose
to narrow
and,
it down.
I mean, a lot of it is just it's kind of funny when you meet people. When I used to work downtown Boston, I mean, I met quite a few people. I was pretty lucky to meet Milt Schmidt and met LB quite a few times and had quite a few cocktails with LB working for the beer company that I worked for. And since he worked for AAF, it was had quite a few cocktails with him, and so all these guys are just really good people. And I met Sean Bates in Medford at a beer promotion. And matter of fact, he remembered who my roommate in college was. So it's kind of funny how life goes,
Doug, I want to ask
Yeah.
you, out of everybody that you've had, I got to ask, who would you never bring into a card show again, or would you keep that confidential?
Well, one guy may rest in. Russ Francis, we didn't quite see eye to eye on a couple. I don't want to go into the details. He passed away. And, Jose Canseco, those were honestly probably those are the only two that proved a little bit challenging to work with. And I don't mean like necessarily in a bad way. It's just when you're running a show, you really need, and you're managing, 400 or 500 people, 50 vendors. There might be three or four autograph guests. Sign at the same time. You really need got autograph guests that are easy to work with. You're doing the mail. I mean, it's a little bit. You're managing the mail. There's always mail order. That's kind of you guys should probably seen to some extent.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to anybody in particular. Although I did just mention a couple names, but you really need guys that they're easy to work with. Just trying to juggle a lot of the show,
Yeah, and I not to exclude anybody, but you've had a couple of pro wrestlers over the years, and Some of them have passed. Like Nikolai Volkoff was there one time when I was there and had a chance to meet him. I wasn't even expecting to see him, and he was there. And he's passed away. And it's very cool when you bring up like Milt Schmidt and people that you've had and given, a chance to get their name out there for some signings and, take some pictures, and now they're not with us anymore. And it's really cool to look back on that and say, hey, I had an opportunity to meet this person. Now they're not here.
Yeah, a lot of the small names, you don't necessarily make much money off them, but maybe you don't lose money much money either. But you can tell they appreciate being there. Jim Loskitoff, another small name, former Celtic, but he was on the roster for I think seven championships during the '60s. He just loved being there. Unfortunately, he had some health issues in the end. But just a guy who comes to mind, just he just loved being at the show. And being recognized because it's not maybe
Yeah.
the big shows don't, maybe he's not a big enough name for the bigger shows. I don't
Right,
know.
right. And I noticed that with the card boom, like you were saying, that there's a lot more competition popping up in the area a little bit. I'm on social media all the time and I see, these other things popping up and I'm like, ah, it's not as cool as what I'm used to with the way you present the card show. I really enjoy, I can't say that enough, how nice it is to go there when you have, small kids or, pre-teenage kids, and it's just nicer. I like the atmosphere.
Yeah, I don't know if to what extent you guys are in the hobby in the early, excuse me, late 1980s or early 1990s, when they were just you had four or five shows every Sunday in Massachusetts, just that one state. In fact, that's why when I originally started my Mansfield show, we started it primarily on holidays, President's Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, Columbus Day. I was kind of the small promoter. Now, I don't know if I'm a big promoter. I'm at least a medium-sized promoter, but I was trying to schedule my show around everybody else's show, and it'd be like I said, four or five shows every Sunday, a couple of shows every Saturday. Heck, there was at least one show every Thursday night, it felt like, and so I did. I was the only one running shows on holidays, so that became a nice niche for a long time. And now the current hobby, you remind. So then you went that, and I say from late 1980s to late 1990s, and then the shows disappeared. I don't know how much the hobby gets smaller or the internet affected things, a little bit of both. And then, post-COVID, there's just so many shows, but I'm still doing well. So.
Yeah. The also too with it must be nice that you don't have to put posters out anymore or on telephone poles with social media being so heavy that you can just, put it out there and people find you a lot easier without doing a lot of the, running around and stapling to, telephone poles and all that other old school stuff. Like you're a up and coming band or a
Yeah,
youngster.
no, I well, we still print flyers and put them out at shows with. I don't know how much that helps. It doesn't cost much, but yeah, I used to have a big email. I think it peaked the email list of like 2,000 addresses, and you'd have to print the addresses, and there's a way you can sort them through the post office, so it was a little cheaper than regular stamps. Still a fair amount of work, and now it's through the email list and. It's a heck of a lot cheaper and more convenient.
Tom, you got a question?
Yeah, I was curious, when you get an athlete to do these shows, how do you go about it? Do you have to talk to their manager, or how do you get these guys to come to you?
It generally depends on the size of the athletes. Most of the smaller players, you go. There's no agent. There's no middleman involved. And the bigger the name is usually an agent and sometimes a commission involved as well. But just a combination. I can find some addresses online and just a lot of connections and a lot of the guys I've already worked through and have a pretty good reputation.
Yeah.
So pay out the money. Some guys want more than they're worth, but I get it. They made millions of dollars, but generally if guy's worth it, I can get him.
Yeah.
Was there ever an athlete that when you started doing these shows that you said, I have to get this guy, you, or it's like, I won't say a must, but it was somebody that you really wanted to get?
Yes and no. I think you make an offer to an athlete, and if they say no, there's some negotiation involved, but I might be a little quicker than some other promoters who kind of move on to somebody else's other fish in the sea. I generally work with retired athletes. So other promoters work with active players, and they want to get them for the very first signing, and maybe they have a little get to get this guy. But yeah, it's always other fish in the sea.
So I got to ask you about Bobby Orr. So when we started this podcast already a little over a year ago, we were asked on an email who we would love to have on the show. And Bobby Orr is my guy. I grew up in that era. He's one of the few Bruins that I've always wanted to meet with the kids. And I got to ask you, would you ever have a chance of getting Bobby Orr at one of the shows?
No, he's not big on public signings. And then even if he was, I don't think I'd be able to afford him. Amazingly, Larry Bird did a public signing through Dick's Sporting Goods. You're familiar with that, through Dick's Sporting Goods. And we thought he'd never do a public signing. Always done. I think he did one in Chicago not too long ago, which ironically did one in Chicago and not Boston. But even I think out of my budget, I don't know if I can even afford him for a private signing. But on my own, I mean, maybe it's a little different if you're just buying a few autographs here and there.
Bobby Orr, I noticed, was in the private signings for the month of May, and I missed it, but the next time around I'll reach out for that one, because I got something that I've been holding on to since I was a kid to get signed. So
Yeah, he does about one a year, one private signing. Yeah, I would say on average, but maybe I'll get other people on the show for you. If you
yeah.
know
Oh yeah.
all names that I work with, but or
Yeah.
just I where were you guys located, by the way, the three of
So
you?
I'm all the way down like Acushnet, Mass area, like on near New Bedford area, and Tom's in Marion, and Ed's in Florida. But all the guys
Okay.
that we have on the podcast, they're all either local, or we have a guy in Louisiana. So, but I want to try to promote on the social media page that we have for the podcast. When you post something on Facebook or social media, I'll share it and post it when you got shows coming up. So maybe it'll attract some more sports fans that will either
Yeah,
mail in or
everything helps.
yeah. Oh yeah. I'd love to do it. I like I said, I love going to the shows, and just the memories I have with the kids is probably my takeaway from it. Where can people find you, Doug, on online
Oh yeah,
the kind?
as far as the website, it's cardboardpromotions.com. Cardboard as in baseball cards, what they're typically made of. Promotions because they promote shows, and our next card show is Emerald Square Mall a week from Saturday. Well, 2 day show, and then we get Cameron Bruins, Jeremy Swayman, and Hockey Hall of Famer Adam Oates, and Bill Space Bentley as an autograph guest, and really good buzz on Swayman in particular. And shout out to Phil Castagnetti in Sports World, he's at the by far the biggest. Baseball card store in Massachusetts on Route 1 in Saugus. I bring him up because he was instrumental in getting Swayman scheduled for the card show for next weekend.
Yeah, one of the big guests that you had lately that I kind of got excited about was Jari Kurri. That was really cool. Somebody they don't really associate with the Boston area, except when they beat the Bruins twice in '88 and '90. But when stuff like that happens, and you get a chance to go, that's what makes it awesome, is bringing in unexpected players that didn't really play in the area and you get a chance to meet somebody like that, like I did, it was fantastic for me. I can't pump tires enough with stuff like that. So that's my thank
Yeah,
you.
what we found, and I look for for autograph guests to be successful, they almost always have to have a Boston connection. The only exception is hockey players. I mean, he's a hockey big name hockey guy, and he's probably you see the pattern of guests I've had. They either have a Boston connection or they're a hockey Hall of Famer, or both. But yeah, because we've had some non-Bruins over the guy with Guy Lafleur. Comes to mind, but Bobby Hall comes to mind, but Jari Kari, he actually flew in from Finland, and that was another one where Phil Castonet was instrumental because he arranged that, and he had Kari sign in his card store one day and my card show the next day. But if you're gonna fly all the way in from Finland, might as well do more than one appearance. And I think he did something with the Bruins alumni that Saturday, that the night in between, but yeah, really good turnout. If he wasn't, you fly someone from Finland, and I'm sure he was pricey. Like I said, I don't know what he was. I wouldn't publicly announce his appearance, but I don't know what it was. But someone else brought him in. But we actually got a very good turnout for him, despite the other prices. But people realize that you're not going to see him every day. Another guy, we had Dino Raja, and he's
Oh,
not.
yeah.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Surprise. Some people might say surprised when we played with the Celtics, but. Never see him again. I forget which country he's, whatever country he's born, that's where he is. And I don't think I'll ever see him stateside again. So I was able to, this is probably 8 or 9 years ago, but another example of a guy you're just not going to see around anymore.
Tom, do you have any more questions for Doug?
Really, I think I've asked all the questions I had, to be honest with you.
Ed, do you have anything to add to before we close up shop pretty soon?
Well, I just want to say thanks for Doug. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. I guess it's kind of, for me, I'm not a big, I was never been big into collecting and that type of thing. And I guess my biggest question would be is how was the impact of COVID? Was it because more people just had time to kind of stay at home and they were able to kind of go out and out and about? Because living in the South, you kind of never even know that COVID was really happening, except for when it really first kicked off. So, do you think that that's what it was, or people just had more time on the internet and vice versa, or that type of thing?
Yeah, well, I was going to bring up how that kind of changed how I did things. It's sort of in a good way, ultimately. The biggest thing of the government just kept giving a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of us extra money. And we had nowhere to spend it because you couldn't go to a Red Sox game. You couldn't go make a lot of things you couldn't do. So they could spend it on baseball cards, even if it was strictly mail order or online. That could create a bit of a boom. And that it really felt, my business too, because I couldn't run card shows for well over a year. And then I say about 3 or 4 months into COVID, I had all these connections with these former athletes, and I said, hey, I got some downtime, you got some downtime, how about I come over to your house and we do a private signing, and we'll do it, well, I'll wear masks, we'll do it safe, we'll do it in your driveway. I'm not actually being invited. This is the summer of 2020. You didn't have to worry about the snow or stuff like that. And I think guys like Louis Tiant and the guys I work with a lot, Rico Pezzicelli, with some of the first couple names I did it with. And then something I'd never done before. Then I started traveling for private signing. That's something I'd never done in my 30 years in the hobby. I think the first two were Charlie Scott, the Basketball Hall of Famer, and Elvin Hayes, another Basketball Hall of Famer. And well, I've scaled that down a bit. It's been you kind of neat traveling, and not only get to see all these athletes, and it's a little different laid back atmosphere compared to a public sign. You really get to talk to them a bit. I travel to places that I wouldn't have otherwise. So in fact, I travel as far as Hawaii for
Sweet.
Hall of Famer Don Nelson, and although I've been there once before, it was a long time ago. That was really neat, although a long plane ride.
Yeah. I have one question now. Do you have people at your show that authenticate the autographs?
Well, there's two types of authentication. There's the in-person authentication where they authenticate stuff that's signed in their presence, so just that lineup's autograph guest. And sometimes we have, they're invited to every show, but
Yeah.
I think they're so busy handling mail order, busy going to the bigger shows, they more often than not they don't. And then there's kind of the authentication where they can authenticate to the best of their abilities. It's a professional judgment, stuff signed previously, and that type of a little more advanced authentication. I think we've got them here to my show once post-COVID, and maybe two times before COVID, which, considering the number of shows I've run, that's a very
Yeah.
small percentage, but they're around.
So, Doug, I have a question about future signings. Is there any big first-time future signings that you're working on right now that you can kind of give us like kind of like an exclusive?
Nothing official, but it's someone like well, nothing official. It's players I'm looking into. I shouldn't mention any names until they're pretty official. Might hurt my ability to negotiate,
Yeah.
but I can't say somebody like Jeremy Swaim. One aspect of the show, sometimes it might be not apparent to a lot of customers, is that sometimes it's me bringing the autograph guest. And sometimes it's an outside promoter bringing the autograph guest. I'm not sure to what extent you're aware of that. So, I say, I'll say there's nobody in the pipeline, and then 2 days from now you'll see someone advertise,
Right.
and you're like, how come you didn't even hint at that, Doug? I didn't know that. It's like Jeremy Swayman. They, like I said, I wasn't looking into him. I had no idea he was local during the off season, but the partner we're working with on that, he called me, you want him? I says, why wouldn't I want him? He's
Right.
in. And a couple hours later, I had him up on the website. And so it's probably, you want to be surprised. I might be surprised in a couple of days.
Yeah, I try to check it all the time because you never know, just like you said, it pops up and you're like, I didn't see that. And then it's like, oh, when is that? And you try to fit it in with, the schedule that you with life, and it's like, yeah, that's a really good one. That's you're gonna have a really, really good turnout for that. That and I'll promote the Ray Bourque show too.
We definitely have some good guests coming up. I mean, but it's a niche for everybody. There's good guests at a price here, and smaller guests. We had Justin Haley, who was the most, I guess, guessing I never even heard of him, but he was on the 2018 Red Sox.
Yeah.
He pitched like seven innings, and we actually sold over 40 autographs of him. This is our most recent show on this past Memorial Day. So $8 an autograph. And I think, and he was a really, really nice guy too. He brought his World Series ring because he was on the World 2018 team. He got a World Series ring, and he brought one of his jerseys, and it made for a neat photo op. So some of those small names are just kind of neat. They appreciate being, I can tell you appreciated being invited.
Yeah, really cool. And also, I remember the show when it was in Mansfield. You left for a while and went to Dedham. You're doing Marlboro now. You're doing the malls. I mean, you're all over the
No,
place.
I'll keep it busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are back, and at Mansfield, the holiday, it switched from a Holiday Inn, and they wanted to double the rent there, and post COVID, so I ended up moving it to the Holiday Inn in Dedham, and then by sort of luck, changed the now it's called the Envision Hotel, and they've been obviously much more willing to work with me. The only downside right now is they can't book the show that far in advance, so the dates aren't as consistent. I might do it 2 months in a row, then might be off 3 months. I kind of take what I can get, but we are back in Mansfield. We've been there since about September of last year. I just haven't got quite the consistency I want, but then I get doing so many other shows. That's another thing about the mall shows. And you've been to any malls, like most of them, they're just quite frankly dead. But it did provide an opportunity, and that they really want us there. And then the two malls I'm currently, they kind of just really want us there, and that
Yeah.
helps. Yeah,
Yeah, it's good for foot traffic. You never know, people are walking through, the two or three people that are still shopping at the mall are walking through and they're like, "Hey, Adam Oates. I didn't know he was going to be here." So, yeah. Really a good niche. It's just like you said, the mall thing is kind of like going by the wayside now, right?
Yeah, the mall shows were a big thing, well, back in the late 1980s and early 1990s, and now it's, but like everything he was off it, they don't get the foot traffic, but then the rent's a lot cheaper, so it kind of offset. It's just the nature of the hobby. There's more collectors, but there's more card shows. They offset one another, and then eventually there's going to go down. This hobby's got to go down. It's just running cycles.
Yeah,
And
and
people say, what are you
now
going to do? There'll be less,
you
I
got
guess
the
you could say
grading now.
there'll be less collectors, but there'll be less shows, so they'll be
Yeah.
offset of one another. So
Right. Tom, anything to add?
No, I don't. I've answered all, I've got all the questions I wanted answered.
I mean, it was Ed, do you have more to add or?
No, I thought it was great to have him on, and I was looking through, I followed him on Instagram and was looking through and thought it was pretty cool that he's going to have Steve Nelson and Ronnie LaPette and Bill Spaceman Lee and that type of thing. It was really cool. Going to have some really cool guests and that type of thing. And then he's also going to have the marathon where I the marathon winner as well. So from a few years ago. So that's pretty cool since I used to be a little bit of a runner, not so much anymore. But that's really exciting. Good stuff.
So Doug, don't be a stranger. I want to have you on again to promote some more stuff as we get closer to holidays and things like that. And I'm gonna totally push anything that you post and try to get some more traffic your way and maybe hopefully send some celebrities our way. Ronnie LaPette, maybe
Yeah, no, he's
come
just
to the
say if you
party.
want. Well, thanks for having me on the show. And if you guys want to stop by the show and talk up some of the autograph guests, I know there's not unrelated. I don't think they even do podcasts, but unrelated party that always asks me, can I interview these guys at the show? I say, well, it's kind of up to them, and it's just another way to get the connections. And like, I met so many great people over the years. I mean, I made a
Yeah.
lot of good friends. Through the hobbies and a couple of them invited my wedding way back when I was over 20 years ago, but it's a good hobby, the way to make connections.
Yeah.
It's all about relationships, man. That's what
Yeah,
it's all about.
yeah. We reached out to Bobby Sheehan. I got his information and his mailbox was full.
Yeah.
So that was a fun little adventure.
Did you get an email from me, or did you need his number, or
Yeah, I
I could have.
ended up getting his number through you, and Ed was trying to
Okay, yeah,
contact
he
him.
well, the Bobby Sheehan story, this is during COVID. We were doing a private signing for, and I was confirming things with him, and he wasn't getting back to his he wasn't replying. Turns out like he lost his phone, and so I ended up writing through a PO box. That's the only, I mean, that's a lot of people, it didn't have that, so I ended up, it ended up working out. So pretty sure I gave him the new number
Yeah.
because the old number, no longer. He lost
Maybe
his
I'm calling
phone.
the
The
old
timing
number.
wasn't, I was like, I
Yeah,
don't know, am I gonna, the timing gonna actually happen? Because he lost
last
his
time I
phone.
ran into him, it was at a YMCA or a gym somewhere. He was signing. And I forget. I don't know if you promoted it or whatnot, but it was weird. We walked through the lobby
Oh,
of the
I, yeah.
gym, and he was in the back, and I'm like, hey, there he is. He's got his Canadian stuff on and
No, that's another great story. Peter Apolli, who's both co-owns that gym and is a card show vendor, he ran a small card show there and didn't draw a lot of people, and he asked if I was interested in running it, and I said sure. So hey, we'll bring in some small autograph guests and see how it goes. And it's kind of, I think they're using that space, whether they do more card, I think they're using that space for something else. But there's a bit of total trivia. All the tables there are now at the Emerald Square Mall.
nice.
Let us borrow the table. We have it. I don't mind telling you this. It's not, no secret. We give him free tables to all the Emerald Square Mall shows as long as he lets us use his tables. It's a win-win
Nice.
where he's got 40 or 50 tables to use, and it says as long as he can let us use. So I don't think there'll be any more card shows there because he has no tables.
Well,
The type
just
of
from a
deals,
guy
you got to
that,
be cost effective.
yeah, it's definitely a better location, I'll say that.
Yeah, that's not the best location, but I just want to try it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, let me, I know that there's playoff hockey on tonight. It started at 8, so I'm gonna wrap it up with Doug from Cardboard
Yeah, thank
Promotions.
you.
Doug, I from me and the guys, thank you for coming on. Appreciate the stories. Hope to build a bridge and maybe make some good connections through the podcast, and we'll go from there and promote all things Cardboard Promotions.
Yeah, hope to see you at one of the shows.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I can't miss you. You're about, 6'7". So,
I am tall, and I usually
yeah.
have my Cardboard Emotions t-shirt on too.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Always the baseball hat. I know you when you're coming. And you look like a busy man every time I see you.
I am, but I'm pretty hands-on, but that's how I like it.
So, thanks, Doug. I appreciate
Yeah,
your
yeah.
time, and we'll definitely get some stuff
Yeah,
going.
yeah, th yeah. Thank you, Andy and Tom and Ed.
You.
Thanks, Doug.
Appreciate it,
Appreciate it,
Doug.
man. Nice to meet you.
Thank
Thanks for
you.
coming on with us. We really appreciate it. Thank you.